Well, good morning, everyone, and a very warm welcome to Barkham Church today. It's great to see you, and we've come together to meet with a great God. We're continuing our series in chapters 8 and 9 of Matthew's Gospel, and David will be preaching later on. As many of you know, Julian and family are away for half term. Well, and you probably don't need me reminding, but I'll just go through a few practical points about how we're doing things at the moment. So just remember, unless you're exempt, please keep your face mask on whilst you're in the building. You're not allowed to sing, but we have the words of our songs on the service sheet for you to follow along. And do join in the psalm and other points, prayers and things that we read together. If you need to use the toilet, can use the disabled toilet in the village hall. That's the one just on the right as you go in, and the keys available at the back of the church. Just ask Nigel or Heather if you need that key. And the good news is that next Sunday, all being well, we'll have our Sunday club up and running during the morning service. So for those who that would be helpful for, we look forward to that. Well, before we get going sort of formally, I've got some children's birthdays to announce. Edward Collahan was 11 last Thursday, and Toby Kilvington is going to be 11 on this coming Friday, so congratulations to Edward and Toby. We hope you will have a very special day. And well done, Toby, for planning birthday in half term. Well, we're now going to say together this psalm printed on the sheet. Psalm 16, it's prayer, it's praise, and it's a declaration of great confidence and joy in the Lord. Not least because of that wonderful statement you can see there in verse 10. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead. We shall be seeing and hearing later, death is an enemy in God's world, but one that in the end will be crushed. So do stand and join with me as we say these verses together. So we say, keep me safe, my God, for in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, you are my Lord. Apart from you, I have no good thing. I say of the holy people who are in the land, they are the noble ones in whom is all my delight. Those who run after other gods will suffer more and more. I will not pour out libations of blood to such gods, or take up their names on my lips. Lord, you alone are my portion and my cup. You make my lot secure. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Surely I have a delightful inheritance. I will praise the Lord who counsels me. Even at night my heart instructs me. I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand I shall not be shaken. Therefore my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest secure, because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, nor will you let your faithful ones see decay. You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasure at your right hand. I'll be seated now. Well, we can't save ourselves from the grave and the realm of the dead, but wonderfully, that is exactly what the Lord God does for us. So let's rejoice in that truth as we listen to our first song, Who, O Lord, Could Save Himself?
Who, O Lord, could save? save themselves, their own soul could heal. Our shame was deeper than the sea, your grace is deeper still.
Forsake their ways, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Well, let's now pray this prayer of confession together. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen. Thank you, Lord, that you so willingly and completely forgive us when we turn to you. Having received your pardon, please help us to forsake our wicked ways and unrighteous thoughts, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, you'll see that our creed today is in a question and answer form. Do join in passionately in the responses in bold if this is what you passionately believe. Shall we stand for this? Do you believe in God?
We believe in God the Father, who made us and all the world.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
We believe in Jesus Christ, the Son of God,
who came to this earth to be our Saviour.
He died for our sins on the cross, rose again from the dead, ascended to the Father in heaven, and will come again in his glory as the judge of all people.
Do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
We believe in the Holy Spirit, whom God gives to all who trust in Christ.
He makes us more like Jesus, guides and strengthens us in our daily life, and helps us to serve God in the family of the Church. Now do be seated. I'm going to be leading us in our prayers. I'm going to begin by echoing the start of Habakkuk's prayer in chapter 3 of his book. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. Father, as we look at the state of our planet with all the pollution and loss of wildlife, and as we see all the divisions between nations and within nations, and the massive problems of many kinds that our own and other nations face, we often feel so helpless. Yet we know that we have this wonderful privilege of access into your presence through the precious blood of Jesus. That you, the one who does awesome deeds, delight to hear our prayers and weave them into your plans to bring about your good purposes. As we see more and more how broken our world is, we recognize how much we need your mercy. Thank you that you are a God of such tender compassion and mercy. Thank you that Jesus has shown us what such compassion and mercy looks like, and that he is always willing to help those who cry out to him. So, Lord, we pray again for your mercy on ourselves, our nation, and our world. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, we pray for our mission partner, Alex Richardson, and his family, and their new church plant in Akadem Gorodok. We pray particularly for the church as Alex's co-pastor, Dima, has been showing symptoms of COVID-19. Please protect Dima and his family and restore him to health quickly. We pray that if the virus has taken root, that it will not spread through the church, but that leaders will put in place effective measures to contain it. But Lord, your word surely warns us that in every church there is a greater threat from sin and false teaching taking root than from any virus. So we pray for this church in Akadem Gorodok, that you will protect it through faithful Bible teaching and through the work of the Holy Spirit, convicting people of the truth of your word and equipping them to live as disciples of Jesus as they put their trust and hope in him. Thank you for Alex's teaching gifts. Please use him to build your church and to lead his own family in all wisdom and godliness. Please give Nadia and their children, Andre and Dennis, a real love for Jesus
a love for your word, and a love for your people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, we thank you that we've been able to get back to meeting together on a Sunday and are able to continue to do so. Thank you for the joy that has brought us as we have gathered in your presence to worship you and hear your word. Thank you that families with children of all ages have been able to be part of that. Please help us now as we plan to restart Sunday Club next week. Thank you for leaders willing to take this on. Thank you for the team who've been thinking through the practicalities and precautions to be taken to keep everyone safe. We pray for unity in putting these in place. We pray for wisdom and creativity in putting together a teaching programme that will bring spiritual blessing to our Sunday Club children. We pray for a good start next Sunday, and where there are any lessons to be learned for subsequent weeks, that they will be able to be implemented smoothly and effectively. We pray too for members of our church who are feeling lonely or worn down by the pandemic or anxious about work and finances and health or just struggling with life at this time. Please help them to find real comfort and strength in your word, to know your fatherly care and to learn to wait on you to renew them. Please help us all in looking out for one another and being open both to give and to receive care from one another. Help us to guard and treasure our unity in Christ. For we ask this in all our prayers, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's time now for our Bible reading, and Claire is going to bring that, and David will come and preach.
She will live. Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. Just then a woman who'd been subject to bleeding for 12 years came up behind him and touched the edge of his cloak. She said to herself, "If I only touch his cloak, I will be healed." Jesus turned and saw her. "Take heart, daughter," he said. "Your faith has healed you." And the woman was healed at that moment. When Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, he said, "Go away, the girl is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After the crowd had been put outside, he went in and took the girl by the hand, and she got up. News of this spread all that region.
Let's pray and ask for the Lord's help as we look at this now. Thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus. Thank you for the joy that it's been to look at him over these last few weeks and for what we've seen of his great kindness and his extraordinary authority over so many things. And we pray now that as we look at this next section, you'd help us to see him even more clearly. And by your Spirit, please help us to trust him as we should. We ask in his name. Amen. The trouble with the Bible is it just doesn't seem very relevant at times. Have you ever heard someone say something like that? Maybe thought it yourself occasionally, as if, you know, over here we've got kind of real life that we're in the middle of living right now, and over here we've got what God says to us through his Bible, through the Bible, that sometimes there isn't a very obvious connection between the two things. So, you know, we read a bit of the Bible on our own, or we hear it preached in church maybe, and sometimes the most we think we can do is walk away thinking, "Well, that's interesting, I never knew that before."
But no obvious connection, link to what I'm facing that day, what we've got going on that week. Now, there's all kinds of problems with that way of thinking, aren't there? You know, when God our Maker speaks, when Jesus our Saviour has something to say to us, of course it's relevant. We know it matters, even if maybe it does take us a little while to work out exactly how. But I don't think we've got any of those problems with today's passage, have we? It's not hard to see how today's passage is very relevant to us. Indeed, as Jesus, who we've seen, shows such authority over all kinds of things, sickness and people and storms and evil, an authority even to forgive sins. Now it's as if he goes one further, do you notice, in this passage, as he shows us he has authority over even death itself. And that is relevant, isn't it? Especially right now. We people have often observed we don't handle death particularly well in our part of the world today. On the whole, if the Victorians, as someone has said, spent all their time talking about death and never talked about sex, we've turned that completely round, haven't we? We talk about sex all the time in our culture, but never death. I just don't want to be confronted by my own mortality, Sarah Cox, the DJ, said in an interview this week, and in many ways she speaks for us all. Deep down, I guess we know it's coming sometime, but we'd like to pretend it's not. And then along comes COVID, this new thing that might get us, with these daily death statistics in the news and frightening possible projections for the future. And in so many ways, we completely fall apart, don't we? And of course, COVID changes things. We don't just carry on living like we lived 12 months ago. But what we're seeing going on around us seems just remarkable, don't you think? I mean, in so many ways, our society grinding to an almost complete halt out of the fear of death, as we seem ready to give up almost anything just to try to reduce the possibility that it might come our way sooner than we thought might be the case. Wouldn't it be great to know someone who sees death and doesn't run away from it but walks towards it? And when he gets there, isn't defeated by it, but shows he has complete power over it. Would you like to meet someone like that? Wouldn't it be brilliant to know someone like that? Well, look at Jesus in our passage today. Two things we'll look at for the next few minutes together. First, we'll look at Jesus as we see him in these verses. And then second, quickly at the end, we'll just think about death. We'll look at death, especially in the light of what we've seen of Jesus. So first, Jesus. Just watch him in these few verses here. Verse 18, when he was saying this, so still in the middle of explaining why his disciples weren't fasting, a synagogue leader came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died." Doesn't your heart go out to that man? Just the worst thing in the world, my military counterpart always used to say in my MOD days, when sometimes we found ourselves called into the office at odd times to make the necessary arrangements after a soldier had been killed in Iraq, as we sat there doing what we had to do and thinking of those parents who we knew would very, very soon, in just a few minutes, be getting a knock at the door and hearing just about the worst news any parents could ever hear. The hardest thing of all, we'd say, to lose your own child. And that's what this man does. But come and put your hand on her, and she'll live, he goes on. Extraordinary. I mean, we've seen some remarkable faith in Jesus in these last couple of chapters, haven't we? But this is just extraordinary. Please come, Jesus. I know you can fix this too. Incidentally, if you're thinking, hang on, in Mark's account of this story, isn't the girl still alive when the dad first comes to Jesus? At least as far as the dad knows. It's only on their way back that he hears the news that she's actually died. But you're absolutely right. That's how Mark puts it. It's just that Matthew, we've seen this a few times actually in the last few weeks, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, guided by him, he's pretty savage with his red pen, Matthew is. as he edits these stories right down, just so that the main point he wants to make comes over even more clearly. Jesus' authority over death, that is the focus of this story. And so, very in your face, that's exactly how Matthew begins. My daughter's died, the man says. Verse 19, Jesus got up and went with him. And so did his disciples, which is lovely, isn't it? When so many of us, we run away from trouble. So many of us, we stay away sometimes, often out of a sense of awkwardness. I just wouldn't know what to say. Well, Jesus does the opposite. He goes straight there. Quite an eventful journey, notice, includes this wonderful healing of this poor lady who has been suffering for years with something that in those days would have made her ritually unclean, and anyone who touched her ritually unclean as well. It's no wonder she's so secretive about the way that she comes to Jesus, as she very subtly tries to touch just the edge of his cloak in confidence that she'll be healed. Jesus knows exactly what's going on, notice, and he's not threatened by her uncleanness at all. There's no, get away! Which is what she'd have had from almost everybody else in you. No, take heart, daughter, Jesus said. Such wonderfully kind words. Your faith has healed you. And at that very moment, we're told, she was healed. And then finally, they get to their sad destination. Verse 23, when Jesus entered the synagogue leader's house and saw the noisy crowd and the people playing pipes, every culture has its death rituals, doesn't it? That was one of theirs. We in our culture, we tend to fall silent in the face of death. They got noisier. Even the poorest families were expected to get in a couple of flute players and a woman to lead the way. Go away, Jesus said, verse 24. It's quite abrupt, isn't it? It's almost offensive, but he knows there's no place for mourning here, given what he's about to do. She's not dead, but asleep, he goes on. And now they laugh. Don't be ridiculous, Jesus. They knew death when they saw it better than we do, probably, given the way we try to shove it off stage as best we can. Verse 25, after the crowd had been put outside, he went in and look at it again. Just remarkable, isn't it? Just as easily as some parents in the church family would have woken children from sleep in the mornings this last week. In fact, probably more easily, given it's been the last week before half term, so many of those children have been so very tired. Jesus takes her hand and she gets up. Very gently he raises her, not from sleep, but from death. And it's all told so simply, isn't it? It's hard to imagine a less fussy way of describing someone being raised from the dead. Almost to say, to make the point, of course. Matthew's final comment, verse 26, news of this spread through all that region. I bet it did, don't you? I mean, even if Jesus wasn't playing a show, he pushed the crowd out of the room before he raised the girl from the dead. Of course, this news spread like wildfire. It was an extraordinary thing in a world that is so under the fear of death that there's someone who can do this. After all, isn't this the news that deep down most people, most wants to hear? That there is someone who can save, even from death. So there he is, there's Jesus, look at Matthew say. Jesus, you notice, doesn't run from death, but walks towards it, and not just towards it. We'll see as we read on in Matthew's account, but in the end, right through it himself. Cross right down into and through death itself, as he absorbs in himself the full curse of death that our sins deserve. And then wasn't held there, helpless in the grip of death, but smashes on through, right through into the full glory of resurrection life beyond, the life that we were all originally made for. This power over death we get a little glimpse of here in Matthew 9. Exactly the same power over death that is still Jesus today. As he puts it himself after his resurrection in Revelation chapter 1. I am the living one, he says. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. No one goes there without Jesus say so. But he can get us out too. So that's Jesus. And now, just as we finish quickly, another glance at death. How does death start to look different in the light of what we see of Jesus here? It is still a horrible thing, isn't it? As so many of us know, very personally indeed. It is still such an enemy in God's world. It came in, the Bible tells us, as a result of sin. It is not how things were created to be. The reason it feels so agonizingly unnatural to be separated from people like that is because it is unnatural. The last enemy, the Bible calls it. But we see. Defeated enemy too. Something else over which Jesus has complete authority and power. This thing that seems so final from our point of view, that God really is something from which he can raise us as easily as a parent raising a child from sleep. And if we're trusting him, something from which he says he will one day raise us, just as surely as we each rose from sleep this morning. There will one day be. Just as surely as we're sat here awake now, some of us more obviously than others, there will one day be. Raised from death by him. You see, where does our security come from in the face of death, even in the face of COVID? Think about it for a moment. It doesn't come from our age. It doesn't come from how old we may or may not be. It doesn't come from our state of health. It doesn't come from our family's health history, how well our parents, our grandparents have done. It doesn't come from statistics about the likelihood of someone like us surviving something we think might be coming our way. It doesn't even come from a doctor's best guess at what might happen. If we're with Jesus, our security rests on something far more certain, because it rests on him. And he's like this. The one who walks towards death unafraid, and then on into it and right through, and shows us, not just in raising this girl here, but in his own resurrection, that he really does have complete power and authority over even death itself. And that changes how we see it, doesn't it? It's interesting. It's one of the marks of Christians through the church's history, this kind of extraordinary fearlessness in the face of death. You think of the Apostle Paul, Philippians 1. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, he says. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. Or you think of others who've been martyred for their faith through Christian history. I was reading this week about John Bradford, who was burned at the stake in London for his faith, getting on 500 years ago. And now, as they tied him to the stake and were about to light the fire, he turned to the very young Christian who was being executed with him, who was really nervous. Be of good comfort, brother, he said, for we shall have a merry supper with the Lord this night. You think of so many Christian funerals today with that strangely powerful combination, you know, the one of real grief at the pain of being parted from this person, and yet such confidence and joy in the knowledge of where they now are. Knowing death is not the end, it's just something from which this kind Lord Jesus will raise us on the other side. The same confidence that in pandemics gone by, far worse ones than COVID, has meant that rather than fleeing to try to avoid the sickness or just shutting themselves down as best they could until it passed by, Christians were able to stay and get out and love and serve and care for others in ways that meant phenomenal numbers of other people ended up turning to Jesus. time. See what Jesus is like. See what he can do as you see him raising this girl so gently from death. Then know for certain if you're his. The day is coming when he will gently raise you too. And you see how that begins to change things. Not so we become careless or foolish or disrespectful or impatient towards other people who are far more anxious about these things, but you see how it frees us up to live and to love and to serve and to smile and to sing in ways that, who knows, might well stand out quite a bit as we head further into this second wave in the coming weeks. And might well prompt the odd question, what do you know that makes you so different? Not what we'll say, but who. Got a moment for me to tell you something about them? Let's pray. As we finish, we thank you again, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus, and for the way this passage shows us that his kindness and his authority that we already knew were so breathtaking, now extend even to those in the grip of death itself. We thank you that he has power to raise from death, and that that is what he has promised he will do for all his people. So we pray that you would help us by your Spirit to trust that, and please would that change the way that we think and that we live. We really don't want to be careless, we don't want to be foolish. We don't want to be impatient or disrespectful, but we do pray that you would help us to live in a way that shows this great confidence that whenever death may come for us, it won't be the end. Not if we're trusting you. Please, would that difference be obvious? And would we have opportunities to tell others about Christ too? And we ask in his name.
Jesus didn't just raise a dead girl, he himself conquered death as God the Father gloriously raised him. Let's be full of wonder and praise as we listen to our final song. Thine be the glory, risen, conquering Son.
Oh,
Well, thanks for being with us today. I trust you've seen more of Jesus through our meeting and will love him more and more. Well, our welcomers Nigel and Heather will indicate when it's your turn to make your way out. I hope you'll be able to spend a bit of time with others outside whilst keeping to the rule of six. Now, rule of six doesn't mean you have to be in a group of six. Now, if you need to have a private conversation with one or two others, that's fine too. Let's just move away, right away from others to make that clear. That's what you need. But in any case, please keep the path free for people to get to the car park. But let's finish with some words from Revelation chapter 1. This was originally written to some of the first churches in Asia. Grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power for ever and ever.